Amen. Tonight, Exodus chapter 9. One chapter tonight. A lot of lessons in the book of Exodus. God has promised Moses that he will be used to deliver the Israelites from their bondage in Egypt. He said he would do that. And would bring the nation into the promised land of Canaan. And so he performed mighty works and miracles. First of all, so that the nation of Israel, the people, would believe it's him and he's their God. Then he showed himself to the Egyptians so that they would believe he's the one true God through these signs and wonders. And then he worked miracles to show Pharaoh he's Almighty God, and that he has power over everyone and everything. And the false gods that the Egyptians worshipped were proved false and powerless. They were nothing as God worked his signs and miracles. But through it all, Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the Israelites go 3 days into the wilderness to worship God. So God sends another plague among the people. And we cover that tonight in chapter 9, Exodus 9. Verse 1 to 3, we read, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go into Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, and on the sheep, a very severe pestilence.'" So we see the fifth plague, animal disease. God says, all your animals will be diseased. I'll send a plague on them. And you notice he says here, in verse 3, "Behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle and all." He's telling them very clearly, it's not just some phenomena or nature. The hand of the Lord. I'm going to do this. I'm going to touch your animals, and they'll all be diseased. And so, is he going to believe or not? And God, you know, I would rather be resting in my Father's hand than have the hand of the Lord upon me. It's a lot better just to be resting in God's hands and have him taking care of you. And we Christians are safe in his hand. We're safe. And verse 4, though, he makes a difference again. "And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so nothing shall die of all the nations, of all that belongs to the children of Israel." See, God started with these plagues, touching different things in their area. Now he's going to get a little closer to them. He's going to touch their animals and then eventually touch them. And Pharaoh won't listen. And he's going to do it just on the Egyptians so that nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. Israel is safe. God's people are safe. It's just like the church today. The church during the Great Tribulation will be with the Lord. We'll be raptured first at the beginning of it when God brings judgment on this earth. Prior to that, we'll be raptured and we'll be with the Lord. Could happen tonight. Everything's fulfilled that needs to be fulfilled for the Lord to call his church home when that last person receives Christ. So we're safe. Things aren't going to touch us when God's wrath is poured out like it was on Egypt. You know, Noah, when God's wrath was poured out upon this world because of sin, was what? Was kept safe. God protects his people. It's what he does. Judgment is always on the wicked. They're the ones that are judged. They're the ones that have God's wrath poured out upon them. And so it's interesting in verse 5, God gives them the timing again. You think he would believe. Then the Lord appointed a set time saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. I mean, how can Pharaoh think it's from anything else? God's done that before. He's saying it again. Tomorrow this is going to happen. Now, if someone kept telling me the day that something was going to happen and it happened, I think I'd listen. You know, when people come up to you and say, well, the Lord told me this, I always check it out first, see if it happens. A lot of times people say, well, the Lord told me this, and they'll tell you something. A lot of times it doesn't happen, so the Lord didn't tell them that. But if someone kept saying, well, the Lord told me this, and it happened, and it happened, and it happened, I'd say, well, the Lord's speaking through you. So verse 6 and 7, guess what had happened? So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. But guess what? Of the livestock of the children of Israel, they were in a separate area there in Goshen. They did not one died. So even if there was a sick animal that day, he didn't die. Just so they don't get confused. Not one died. Then Pharaoh sent, and indeed, not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead. He checked it out. He says, okay, God said he's not going to touch them. Let me check this out. Not one died. But the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. So Pharaoh sent, and indeed, not even one of them died. But the heart of Pharaoh became hard. It's getting harder, harder, harder. And he did not let the people go. Pharaoh's worse than these 2 or 3 year olds that throw these fits and they just don't stop. You know, they want you to give in as a parent. And these people are just, this guy's just rebellious, is Pharaoh over Egypt. He just will not let obey God and let the people go. His heart is hard because he disobeyed. So another plague. So we get into the sixth plague. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handfuls of ashes from a furnace, and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. Get some ashes, throw it up in the air, and it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And then they took ashes from the furnace, stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them toward heaven, and guess what? They caused boils that broke out in sores on man and beast. So now it's boils. I don't like this one. That's horrible. Boils on man and beast. This just turned to boils on everything. And the magicians, you know, Pharaoh's Egyptians and those that are powered by Satan could not stand before Moses. They couldn't even stay there because of the boils. For the boils were on the magicians and on all the Egyptians. God's knocking everything down that Pharaoh believes in. He's showing them he's God. He's God. Even Pharaoh's magicians couldn't stand against it. Boils on everyone. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And when it says that, what it means is he confirms the hard heart of Pharaoh. Just like we read in Romans 1, how God just gives them over to their sin. He just gives people over to their sin. Their hearts are hard. He says, that's what you want? Okay. Let it be hard. God goes along. He hardened it, and now God, it says the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. He just won't listen to God. So his heart is hard, and God says, okay. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. Every time Pharaoh sees Moses walking, I wonder if he thinks God's going to say something different finally. He's going to finally give in to me. It's the exact same message. When God tells us something, he does not change. We are the ones that must give in. He says, simply let my people go that they may serve me. Very simple message. And verse 14, I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now he's going to start touching the people. And when it says, I will send all my plagues, that means very severe. The full force of the plagues are now going to come on you and your people. You're going to feel them. You're going to feel the brunt of it. So that, why? So that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. You're going to know there's no one like me. I'm God. I'm the one true God. You've been following a lot of gods. I'm the one true God. You're going to know there's no other God. Now, shouldn't Pharaoh know this by now? God has shown his power, his superiority over all the gods the Egyptians believed in. Verse 15, he says, now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. What he's more or less saying, I could have killed you all by now by letting these things come upon you. I have the power to do that. If I just stretched out my hand and says, here's a plague on you, you'd have been cut off from the earth. You would have died. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up. Here's why I've allowed you to go through this and live, that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Egypt was a power. And he's saying here, I'm allowing this so that I'm going to show my power and word's going to get out and my name will be declared in all the earth that I'm God, Jehovah God, the only God. See, God's doing this to show everyone he is God so that you may know. People have head knowledge of God, but people need to know that he's God. And God's saying, you're going to know this by the power that I'm pouring out. And you should have known that by now. I wanted to demonstrate my power so that you will declare this to all the earth. And in verse 17, as yet you exalt yourself, you promote yourself against my people in that you will not let them go. He says, that's a bad idea. You're fighting against me and going against my people. That's not good. You're putting yourself above me. So now the seventh plague, verse 18. Behold, tomorrow about this time, now he's telling them again the time and the time, the day and the time. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause very heavy hail to rain down. Such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Going to be this very heavy hail. It's going to, very heavy hail, it's going to rain down. Therefore, send now. Now, this is interesting. God gives him the date, and he gives the Egyptians a chance to protect themselves and their animals. He hasn't done this before. God says here, you know, I'm going to do this tomorrow. This time, this very heavy hail is going to rain down. It's going to be bad, destructive. Never had anything like it in Egypt before. And it's about this time. Therefore, here's what you can do to protect yourself. Send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, they shall die. Go get your animals. Get everybody and all your animals home and protect it, because anything left in the field is going to die. And look at verse 20 and 21. There's two types of people. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the house. So apparently, a lot of servants of Pharaoh and their servants, a lot of people in Egypt believe God now. You know, they're probably saying, how dumb can our leader be? Look what's happening. You know, we got to believe in God. We got to obey him. And so they went and they brought all their stuff and stock into the house. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. So we see two types of people there, believers and unbelievers. And guess who made out better? Believers. God warned him. It's all a matter of faith. Some believed, verse 20, some didn't believe, verse 21. And guess what's going to happen? It's all a matter of faith, of believing in God or not believing in God and His Word. Some acted on their faith and some didn't. Today, some have faith in God, Almighty God, Jehovah God, and many don't. Some say they believe but really don't act upon that. The fruit of their life doesn't show it. Some believers will be spared from the great tribulation, and some people won't be spared. Many people will go into the tribulation period. Some people will get to heaven, and many people won't get to heaven. God has warned us, just like He warned Pharaoh and the people. He goes, here's what you need to do. Well, here's what you need to do. He who feared the word of the Lord, in other words, believed it and feared it and acted upon, not just say I believe, but acted upon it, they brought their stuff home. Those that didn't said, why am I going to do all this extra work? I don't really believe that's going to happen. They're going to be wiped out. Things haven't changed today. There are believers and unbelievers of God's word. And believers are shown, true believers are shown by their actions. They are prepared for the future. God said this will happen. The rapture of the church, the great tribulation period, the second coming of Christ, and all these things. God said this will happen, and we are in the last days. Let's turn to James chapter 2, please. James chapter 2, verse 18. James 2, 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Our works demonstrate our faith. We can't just say, I believe or have faith. Well, we can say that, but it doesn't mean it's true in our heart. There's always action that goes along with our faith, you see. So when we look back at our text, verse 20, those who feared the word of the Lord, they fled to the houses. Those that didn't believe, did not regard the word of the Lord, they left the servants and livestock in the field. They says, no problem, that's not going to really happen. Now, what does a person have to do to avoid judgment and go to heaven? Believe in Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. What does a person have to do to miss out on heaven and be judged one day? Absolutely nothing. They just go along and do nothing with their life. John chapter 3, let's turn there, please. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 14. Jesus, prior to this, said, you must be born again. And He explains it about believing. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, we get an example of Moses again here when he was in the wilderness. So we know what you must do to go to heaven. But he gave them, Jesus gave them an example from the Old Testament here in verse 14. And he says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Let's look at that in Numbers chapter 21, what Moses did there. Numbers 21. A couple of books ahead of after Exodus. Numbers 21, verse 5. They're journeying in the wilderness. They finally got away from Egypt. Verse 4. Then they journeyed from Mount Horeb, or by the way of the Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. Isn't that awful? They loathe what God gave them. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live," like the medical symbol. So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole. So it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. That's the example that Jesus gives them. They were familiar with Moses did in the wilderness. Bronze pole, sign of judgment. Serpent, evil, judged on that pole. If you get bit by this sin, by this deadly serpent that I'm sending among your midst, if you just look at it and believe, you will be okay. You will be healed. But if you're saying, "Oh, that's foolish, how can looking at that help me?" Well, because God said to do that. Because that was God's way. Just look at it and believe, and you will be healed. You won't die. How many people do you think said, "Oh, that's foolish"? Just like people say today, there's more than one way, more than just Jesus. But God says, no, there's only one way. And he'll be lifted up, put on the cross. And if you look to him in belief, by faith, that he is the Savior, you will be healed of your sin. You will not die. He gave them that example. And so God, you know, provided this way based on believing or not believing back then and now, because it's God's way now to look at Jesus our Savior. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, died prior to you, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we know, we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive," and there has been this resurrection, as people die, they don't die, they go to be with the Lord. This is when we will get our new bodies as we all meet together at the rapture. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." This speaks of the rapture, caught up, rapturus in the Latin. So this is what God said. If we believe, there is this generation that will be living here, and God, and they were just going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. God says that's the way it's going to be. Do we believe it? Yes, I believe it. I don't mind if it happens tonight, tomorrow. It says we'll forever be with the Lord. Wherever Jesus is, there will I be. One day we will meet our Lord in the air. So back to our text, Exodus 9, verse 22, he tells them that. So that's the last plague there. The magicians tried it. It didn't work. He says, let my people go. Not let my people go. There's going to be another plague. See, Pharaoh's heart grew hard, but it's all based on believing. So in verse 21, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you. Or else, if you will not let my people go, I will send swarms of... Where are we? Oh, wrong chapter. 9. No wonder I'm lost here. We already did flies. So verse 20, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. That sounds scary. Nothing like it. That's what Jesus said about the great tribulation period. Such has never been before, such great tribulation. That's how bad it's going to be. I'm glad we're not going to be here. I don't mind if I saw this in a movie, but I wouldn't want to be there then. You see, this hail and fire mingled with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it since it became a nation. Fire darting on the ground. What a horrible plague. And so we read in verse 25, they all struck throughout the whole land of Egypt. All that was in the field, those people that didn't believe, left everything in the field. They could have been spared. They could have brought them home. You see, both man and beast and the hail struck every herb of the field, broke every tree on the field. Only in the land of Goshen, and that's where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. So terrifying, those that were stuck out in the field, God told them, you know, where the safe place was. Where did he say the safe place was? Home. He says, take them home where you live. The field is a bad place. Home is a good place. Where is our safe place? In the world or in the love of Christ? In our Lord's hand. Where is our safe place? Not in the world, which is the field. It wasn't for them, but it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in him. God told them where and what to do, and many didn't do it. They kept everything out in the field, in the world. And it was all destroyed. Let's turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 117. Hold me up, and I shall be safe. And I shall observe your statutes continually. Where is our safe place? In the Lord. Hold me up, and I shall be safe. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Maybe today you're anxious or worried or going through trouble. Run to the Lord. Just his name, the great I am. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs 29. Verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. We trust in the Lord. We're safe. We don't have to worry. These people didn't trust in the Lord. So back to our text, verse 26. Only the land of Goshen, where Israel was, there was no hail. Now, the Lord is our place of safety. People don't learn, no matter how bad it gets in life, no matter how bad things get in society. They just want to run their own life and do their own thing. Many people love the world more than God. That's their life. They live out in the field there. It'll be that way until the second coming of Christ. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 6. No matter what happens, you know, a lot of times we pray for people, God, do whatever it takes to get them to heaven, save them, give them faith. And it seems they go down, 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 even gets worse, and they still don't come. What we need to pray for is faith, for their eyes to be open, and for Satan to get his hands off of them. We need to pray that their eyes would open up, that their heart would open up, and that they would have the faith to believe. Because it takes faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And maybe people do sometimes get that bad, or they do say, well, I'm going to trust in God. And hopefully that's where they turn. But look at this, Revelation 6, verse 12. Revelation verse 12 to 17. I looked there, and he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. The stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Sounds pretty scary to me. And the kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? What do we see here? In his great tribulation period, we see that people know, these unbelievers know, this is God's wrath, that they're being judged. Instead of turning to God, they're hiding in the rocks and in caves. They know this, that God's wrath has come. Then turn ahead to Revelation chapter 9, verse 20. But the rest of mankind, who are not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, of their sorcery, of their sexual immorality, or their thefts. That blows my mind. After all of this, they still don't repent. That's the way people are. Even when they see the signs, pray for faith, that they have faith to believe. It's the only thing. Having faith in Jesus, just between you and the Lord, is what's going to save a person. So we see here, that's exactly what happened to Egypt. All these things happen, and same thing is going to happen at the end of the days. They're going to see all these things, they still will not believe because they love their life or the world more than they love God. So back to our text, verse 27. Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, look at this. I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked. Can you believe it now? He says, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked. You notice it says, and he said this to them. Was it real? We're going to see in a few verses it wasn't real. People can say anything. Some people say, I'm sorry, God, I'll never do this again. They're sorry that they got caught or got hurt. They're not sorry that they sinned against God. That's not true sorrow. It tells us in the Bible, true sorrow turns to repentance. You don't do it again. You know, there's people we all know that say they're sorry continually. They do the same thing. They're not sorry. It turns to repentance, where you turn from it. That's true sorrow. And God knows the heart. If it's just words, or because the situation got bad, or has your heart really changed? Pharaoh at this time says, I have sinned. You notice, though, there's something he attaches to it. He's not really repentant. He says, I have sinned this time. What about all the others? Oh, God, I sinned once. Forgive me. He said, I have sinned this time. Not all the time. He's not sincere. It's just talk. A person can acknowledge these. You know, a person can acknowledge exactly what he said. Look what he said. I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and my people are wicked. That could be truthful, but that doesn't mean you're going to change or believe. That's just stating fact. You see? There are people that say, I know this is sin. I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it. People can admit they're sinners. They can admit, you know, the Lord is righteous. And my whole family is wicked. But we're still going to party and live the way we want and not turn to God. And they know it. They accept it. But I don't think they know who God really is. They don't have the fear of God in their heart. See, so what he said could be true, but it's not really, doesn't really have anything to do with him and his heart and his life. He's not going to change. He's just stating fact. He's just looking for a way for, he doesn't know God can see his heart. He thinks if you say these words, well, you're going to fool God. You see, I'm going to fool God. I'm going to say this, and he's going to stop doing these things because he's going to think I'm sorry. They're just words. You know, he's not really sorrowful. Verse 8, 28. He says, pray for me and entreat the Lord. If he was really repentant, he would have prayed. He's asking Moses to pray for him. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering and hail, for it is enough. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Well, that's a lie. So he's just trying to get out of it. And people do this. They continually do this. And so Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease. There will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. He says, pray for me, and you know, I will let you go. So Moses, a good servant of the Lord, this amazes me. This guy is really patient. If someone kept saying that to me and go pray for me, after I'd say, forget it. You see, but he's a good man of God. He continually goes before the Lord. He doesn't say to Pharaoh, oh, forget it, you don't really mean it. He goes to God each time and prays for him. Please stop. Isn't that wonderful to be a servant of the Lord and not get upset? God is patient with us. And so Moses said to him, you know, I'm going to do this as soon as I leave here. And then verse 30, but as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. I know you're not going to fear the Lord. Because Pharaoh doesn't really believe in the one true God. And then in verse 31, we read, now the flax and barley were struck, for the barley was in the head and the flax was in the bud. We realize that this is February now, because that's what happened. So this was in the month of February. But the wheat and the spelt were not struck, for they are late crops. They come on later on. So Moses did it. He went up out of the city from Pharaoh, spread out his hands to the Lord. And guess what? God's patient too. The thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured on the earth. It stopped. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more. He was just trying to play games with God, thinking God will listen to his words, but he didn't really mean it. He sinned more, and he hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard. Neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Just not real. The key is believing in God and his word. God is patient. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for being merciful and gracious and patient with us. Lord, we are glad you do see the heart, that you know those that are yours. And God, it's so good to know you. We're so glad you gave us the faith to believe and that we have this relationship with you. I pray, Lord, that these words we read would be planted in our heart, that we would honor you with our lives. And Lord, please touch those around us that don't know you. Open their eyes. Draw them to you. Give them the faith to believe and work in them by your Holy Spirit. We know you don't desire that any perish. And we don't either, Lord. So we pray for those we know that they would come to know you. We thank you for your mercy and grace and for your word tonight. Lord, we just thank you that we'll forever be with you and not have to go through any tribulation, great tribulation. But the tribulation we go through while we're here now, we know you will get us through. And we thank you for that, Lord. You're faithful. You've brought us to this point. We know we have an eternal hope and great things ahead, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.